John 3:21 and Acts 2:37. So let's look at Acts 2nd chapter and the 37th verse first. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this term is that when we hear something, the first time that I heard the gospel, and not the first time that I heard it, but the first time I heard the gospel and I knew that it was more than what I had heard before. This is what they're talking about with this term. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They heard something and it affected you. So when we hear the gospel for the first time and the Lord uses it to make us alive, saves us by his marvelous grace, then that's what that particular verse is talking about. Now look at 1 John. I thought this was interesting to know that when I may be doing something that is questionable, or you may be, or whoever, and we hear about it in the Word of God. You know, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. God said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, we know that this heart is not talking about the physical beating heart, but the heart is part of our emotions, how it affects us when we love someone, and we may use the term, I love you with all my heart. Well, you know, the heart, not talking about the physical heart, but it is a feeling, and this is how we determine it, how we have been taught. So, so conscience, it affects our heart. And when I was lost and God was working on me, you know, my conscience pricked me. And I began to think about it different. In other words, that affects our heart is courage. You know, we said, man, you know, you got a lot of courage, or you got a big heart. Well, you know, my dad had an oversized heart, and part one side of my heart is oversized because of the artificial tube or the pig's valve that I have in it. And that's why, if you was to listen to my heart, on one side it's a lot different. So the doctor says I can't tell the difference personally. But in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 10, he said, he also that is violent, whose heart is as the heart of a lion. No, I've heard basketball coaches, I've heard different coaches said, you got to put your heart in it. You know, you got to put your whole self in it. So we sometimes, and I just chose this word because I think it's something that we need to be conscious of, that whatever word we're using, it got more than one meaning. You know, it's got more than one meaning. The heart, my heart and desire. What did the prophet said? My heart and desire is for Israel that they would be saved. That's a strong desire. You know, we talked sometimes, and I heard my wife and my sister, my wife and her sister talking on the phone, and I heard one of them, you know, say, you know, I've had you on my heart. Well, you know, that is a saying, But what are we talking about? I think that that's what is missing in our lives, is missing in our church. If we have a lost loved one, they should be on our heart. You know, we have a desire for God to save them. So really it is the emotion, you know, because their hearts were merry. You know, we use that in Judges 16:25. My heart rejoices in the Lord, 1 Samuel 2:1. Joy of the heart, sorrow of the heart. Isaiah speaks about that in 8 different verses in the book of Isaiah. The one that I used was Isaiah 65:14. But it was amazing to me as I studied this, what is the heart? It depends on what we're talking about, you know. Are we talking about a physical, you know, as a physical heart, my heart is not the best, you know. But do I have a heart for the Lord? Do I have a heart to be of use, to try to be an encouragement to people? And certainly that's what we ought to put. Let's look in Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark, the 11th chapter. When we look at this verse here, Mark chapter 11. And notice here in verse 23, God said, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, but thou remove, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. No, it's the same too, as I love you with all my heart. Well, you know, what is God talking about here? Well, here in 11:23, it said, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. In other words, the heart in this verse is the being, the center of our emotion. Do we really believe that God will do that if we believe strong enough? You know, Paul said, believe in thine heart that God was buried, and rose again. So it's more than just a organ. It is the inner part of our emotions and how we act and how we react. Another one in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. You know, this one we've read several times as in different sermons, but notice here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. God said here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, here, God is simply saying in Romans 10:10, don't make a profession of faith. Don't believe something unless it's inwardly. Inwardly. I know that when God saved me, something happened. So here in verse 10, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The whole being. A lot of times we believe in the head. There's a lot of lost people that believe they're saved because they had an emotional experience. I don't know who they are. It's not my business to judge them. But I know God said that many will say in that day, Lord, Lord. You know, many. So it's important that we make an understanding and a distinction between believing with the head and believing with the whole heart, soul, and body. I was just amazed how many, and we won't have time this morning if I looked up all of them, but it was just a blessing to me. And, you know, he goes in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, and he talks about the evil heart of unbelief. You know, so we know just from common sense, we might say that the heart is not evil. It may be defected, but it's not evil in the fact that, but it is an emotion. So when God says the evil heart of unbelief, the evil heart of unbelief, you know, we have, God is the one that has to change our heart. You know, it's, we go to church and we, God is working on us, but it's not something we just do without a previous working of the Spirit of God. So we see here in Hebrews chapter 12, or Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, let me get it right here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. God says here, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, you know, if I was out there and somebody was teaching what I'm teaching, and they said, well, what has it got to do with me? I'm saved. Well, how that heart is used will determine whether I fully understand that scripture, or am I taking it just literally as the heart. The heart is talking about the same function. But God said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we know that when a person is saved and they serve God for years, and then it's just like a switch. They stop serving God, go back doing everything that they used to do. What has took place? Well, it's exactly what God is saying here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's hard for us to believe, but a person can serve God for a number of years, go back into the world, and God will do one of two things. He'll grant that man, woman, boy, or girl repentance, or he'll take that woman, man, boy, or girl home. God will not allow anyone to continue in a lifestyle of a lost person. Now, the next question, how long? I don't know how long. You know, if you study Ruth, and some of you ladies in the Secret Pals studied Ruth, you can see that she was backslidden for several years. But she was saved. So we are quick sometimes when a person does something that is against the word of God, well, that person wasn't saved. Well, it's whether God brings that person back or not. And I said here before you, I don't know. The Bible doesn't teach me a time frame. How long can I be out of God's will before he takes me home? I don't know. But I do know that if you're saved, you get out of his will, you will come back, or he will take you home. And you said, well, that's not bad. Well, it's not bad unless you understand the judgment seat of Christ. Now, a lot of people believe that, you know, everybody in hell is equal. Everybody in heaven is equal. But the only problem with that is you can't find that in the Scripture. You just can't find it. And what would be the purpose of the great white throne judgment for the lost people? I believe that, you know, and I was talking to an individual yesterday, I mean, abortion, I believe that when a person has the view that the liberals have on abortion, unless God saves them, they're going to hell because that's murder. And they're going to have a hot spot in hell. Now, I don't ask anybody to agree with that, but, you know, God said, touch not my anointed. Touch not my children. So there's just so many things that we take the first view that we hear and we say, I like that. But is it true? I believe that's the very same thing of John 3:16. I believe John 3:16, and one of our members asked me, don't you believe John 3:16? Yes, I do. I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I believe that, but what John 3:16 teaches is who was he talking to? What was the situation? And he was, if I was talking to a lost person as Jesus was, and that lost person asked me, what do I have to do to be saved? I would say, believe on Jesus Christ. Isn't that what John 3:16 teaches? For God so loved the world. How does that apply to you? That you believe that you were part of that world. All you got to do is to believe. But once we study the Bible, we know that before I could believe, that God had to make me alive. And that God had to grant me repentance and God grant me faith. But to that lost person that can truly believe, that's all he knows. And that's all he needs to know to be saved. But once you grow in grace and knowledge, you know that you can't repent if God hadn't made you alive. You can't believe if God hadn't made you alive. So all that points back to when you get all the pieces in that puzzle together, that God is the author of salvation. God is the finisher of salvation. And what is the heart? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, he's not talking about the human heart. He's talking about that emotional heart where our feelings at, you know, it's just like love, you know. There's different types of love as we talked this past week. But the place of divine working is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5:5. We know that. We have heard that. What is that talking about? The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. So what is the purpose of this human heart? Then you get to the point, what is the difference between the body, the soul, and the spirit? And when Christ comes into our life, we have a saved body that is waiting for us. We have a soul, and we have a spirit. And to make biblical sense, the love of God is set apart in our spirit, in our soul. the love of God, because love is an emotion. Understand that? It is an emotion. That's why that, you know, when I was in the first grade, I fell in love 18 times. And I wrote the letters. I love you. Do you love me? You know, but we all went through that. And we were as sincere as we knew how to be sincere. But when that true love comes along, that's much more than that. So, you know, given the Spirit in our hearts in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, that's what happened when God saved me. That emotional part of my being, you know, it's like you fallen in love with your wife. You know, when I met my wife and you met your wife or husband or whatever, there was a difference. The Lord searches the heart. And, of course, Proverbs is full of those scriptures. Proverbs 26, 23 talks about a wicked heart. What is a wicked heart? Now, if you got a defect heart, as I had, you know, born with several things wrong with it, you know, but that was not a evil, evil heart as being more than any other baby, but it was a defective heart. Now, look at back in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. God says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. God says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So here Matthew puts a different light on it. He says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, what they were thinking, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So the heart sometimes got to be related to our thought. We, from time to time, maybe husbands, wives should. I've never been that type of an emotional person about it, but I do from time to time. I just walk up the door, put my arms around, and say, "I love you." And, you know, and when she's feeling good, she says, what have you done now? You know, that's just the natural response. But we don't have a reason. If we care about somebody, we'll just say out of the, you know, I love you. But when we look at what God is saying here in Matthew 9:4, Jesus knowing their thoughts. Wherefore, think ye evil in your hearts. You know, God knows everything about us. He knows what we're going to say before we say it, what we're going to think before we think it. You know, and once the Spirit of God has taught you that, it always amazes me. It's sort of comical to me when I'm talking to somebody and a curse word slips out. You know, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry. If you're saved, it may offend me, it may not offend me, but when we take the Lord's name in vain, we're offending God. You know, that's why you don't curse, not because you may offend somebody, but because it offends God. God says in Mark chapter 2, verse 6, But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their heart. Well, does our heart reason? So that means that the heart here, if they were reasoning, they were thinking, their emotions was involved. But God makes it very clear, you know. He said, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So they were thinking. They were meditating. So, you know, I'm strictly a King James version, but I've got about 8 or 9 Bibles that are all different versions. And one of those versions, I forget now which one it is, but it has here, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and thinking. Well, reasoning in our hearts, we're self-thinking. So, you know, even though I wouldn't use that, but, you know, not every one of those translations is totally wrong, but you can't improve on what God does. So that's what we have, Bible dictionaries, and what we have, you know, all this other great help. And it's a reasoning in their hearts. They're reasoning. What do you do if you go into a car lot, you buy a car, they offer you, and they, you know, they come back and offer you. So they say, think about it. I'll go get a cup of coffee, and I'll give you time to think about it. You know, whatever technique. In other words, they were giving you time. That's what I'm reasoning. And that's why everything that we do that involves anything really, really important, we need to think about it. We need to study it. We need to reason. We need to be comfortable in our heart. You know. George Masterson said, my heart needs thee, O Lord. My heart needs thee. No part of my heart needs thee like my heart. No part of my body needs thee like my heart. All else within me can be filled by thy gifts. My hunger can be satisfied by daily bread. My thirst in earthly waters. My cold by household fires. My weariness by outward rest. But no outward thing can purify my heart. Now, you know, that's what George Madison wrote. Then he finished up in that saying down here, when he said, this world has not provided for my heart. It has provided for my eyes, my ears, my touch, my taste, my sense of beauty. But it has not provided for my heart. Provide thou my heart, O Lord. Nothing in this world can give me what I have when I tell you I know that I'm saved. I am eternally secure. Nothing can give me that except God. You know, I've heard people say when I went into the waters of baptism, when I stopped doing this, when I stopped doing that, but when God saved me, nothing could replace what my heart or my emotions felt. And never has, you know. Our last point is the divided heart. How long hath he between two opinions? 1 Kings 18:21, you know, talks about if the Lord be God, follow him. See, that is the problem that we say. You know, most of us are divided. I could take this Bible and I could go to probably 8 or 9 verses that true like every other verse, but there would be people to say, I don't agree with that. Then you got a divided heart. You know. When God said, ye must repent, when he put the word must, that means you cannot be saved unless you repent. But there's others who say, I must repent and be baptized. Well, then repent loses its value. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't have no problem telling a lost person that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But before I leave that visit, I'm going to make sure, at least in the head, they understand what repentance and faith is. Because belief is an emotion. I believe this is the best song I've ever heard. Then next week you hear another song. Oh, that's the best one. But when you repent, man can't repent, for man is depraved. So when God grants repentance, he gives you the ability to think a way you were never able to think if God had not touched you. So that's why that beautiful song, He Touched Me. Oh, He Touched Me. And it goes on to say, He touched me and made me whole. Their heart is divided now, shall they be found falsely? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:21-24. What is he talking about? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is important in this heart, this emotion, this feeling? That's why that when God saved us, he saved my body, my soul, and my spirit. The body is going to be saved at the resurrection. But my soul and spirit were saved then. Especially the spirit. You know, we ask sometimes, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? We are made up of a triune person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And here on earth, that soul and spirit never changes for his purpose. But we grow in grace and knowledge. And when we grow in grace and knowledge, what happens? We become more spiritual. We let the spirit control us instead of letting the body control us. In James 4:4, it said, know ye not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God? Because what we fellowship with is very important to us. I was telling Matt this morning, I said, you know, the commercials on TV will make you not want to watch TV. I mean, I'm so fed up of watching two men in the bed, black and a white, in the bed, sharing things. And this is not an opinion. This is ignorance of God's word. This is ignorance of God's word. You know, so when try to give a biblical answer, so, you know, a person asked me, I think I said it Wednesday night or sometime, but a person, they were sincere. What do you think God thinks about homosexuality? You don't have to wonder.
You go to the Old Testament, what did he do? He destroyed them. You go to the Bible, what does the Bible say? I'm God and I change not. Which takes us back to the human. We know somebody that knows somebody. God said, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. And last, God said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I have outlined the book of Revelation 3 different times. Some of y'all had the first copy. But it wasn't until a couple of weeks ago that this lukewarmness really hit me. And this is where we are as a nation. We don't care. If it don't affect me, don't care. But if you look at what God said here in Revelation 3:16, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If you're lost, you got a chance of being saved. That's why I don't get excited when somebody asks them, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they'll look at me straight in the eye and say, Pastor, I'm lost. If I died right there, right now, I would split hell wide open. See, now that person is a candidate to be saved. But if you're lukewarm, I don't really ever think about it. You know, there's good people, bad people. Who knows who's saved and who isn't? The saved person knows who is saved. And the truly lost person knows who's lost. But as you study those seven churches in Revelation, it's that church where they are lukewarm. Lukewarm. Father, we thank you.